Mr. Parnaby, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Parnaby?
32 Francis Street, Fulwell, Sunderland.
Date of birth?
22nd of January, 1917.
But what did your father do for a living?
He was a sailor. And sailing ships. Of course, then went over to steam. Having an accident at sea, fell down ship's hold, crippled. Back home, and that was it.
Had he served in the First World War at all?
No.
Been injured before then?
He was a sailor, you see, but he was injured before.
How many children did he have, your father and mother?
Seven.
And where were you in that seven?
Last.
Are you the youngest?
I am the youngest.
Brothers and sisters, how many were there?
Four lads and three girls. And I was the last. But it's, I don't know what I should say. My father, being a sailor, he was away. And then he would come home. And then he'd be away again on the Australia run. And there's about 2 to 3 years between each one of us. But between the last one and me is a bigger gap. Because he was back home now and unfortunately crippled. Now, my mother was 47 when I was born.
Did she have to work at all?
No. But she did take washing for the soldiers during the First World War. She used to wash them when, because they lived. Soldiers was camps in Roker Park football ground, and we lived just opposite, and she used to do a lot of washing for them. But she couldn't go out to work because of my father being crippled.
And the wage or the earnings that he was bringing into the home, was it sufficient to rear his family okay? Was it comfortable?
Just. A struggle in them days, a struggle, but everybody had a struggle sometime. Yeah.
The neighbourhood you were born into, what kind of neighbourhood was it? Working class?
Yes.
What you would call working class?
Yes. Because it was close to the mines, close to the shipyards. Actually, at the back of the house was the rope works. And further along the road, there were the two rope works. And then there was also Tizzick Steelworks. So you could see in the working class area. There was a railway run down the back to the docks, to the North Dock.
How did you get on with your neighbours?
Oh, champion. Okay. Yes.
You could trust them in those days?
Oh, definitely. Them days you could go out and leave your house open and come back and it was still the same. Oh no, none of this bother there is these days then. It was a happy community. Yeah.
Can you describe the house that you lived in?
It was a four-room cottage. Two bedrooms, a sitting room and a kitchen. And in them days, the sitting room was the sitting room. Nothing happened in there, just sit. Or if it was party, birthday celebrations, in there. That was the select room. But my father died, of course. And my other brothers and sisters was married and left home. Until it ended up that I was at home alone with my mother.
So your house could take your large family. You had plenty of space.
Well, it had to. You had a back bedroom where the lads slept. And then the small bedroom where father and mother was. And where, being a youngster, I used to sleep there with them. And then this kitchen was what they call a desk bed, which used to let down, and the sisters used to sleep in that.
Did you have hot and cold running water?
No, just cold water. But the running was done by you. You run down the yard to the tap outside. No inside water.
Just a communal tap?
Yes. No. There was a tap for each house. A tap for each house at the bottom of the yard. But, like I say, I was at home with mother. And then, of course, I was away in the war.
The toilet situation, what kind of toilets did you have?
Well, we had flush toilets, but they had been altered, modernised, because they had been, up in this area, they were called netties, ash pits. That's what they were. But ours, when Dad bought this house, had been modernised. So they were all right in that respect.
Did the church or the chapel play a part in your family life?
Well, we used to go to church in the next second street long. This was Francis Street and Osborne. Duke Street was like two cottages into one, and that was a little Methodist chapel. That's where we went. Methodist chapel.
And every Sunday was this?
Yes, every Sunday afternoon. Always went there. And of course I had the usual anniversaries where... And the Sunday school treat each year. Quite happy.
Did you get involved with the Boy Scouts at any point?
No. I did start at... They used to meet in Redby School, the Boys Brigade. But it just sort of dwindled off, and that was that.
So you weren't there long?
No. I wasn't even there long enough to have a uniform.
How did a young, growing child fill his life in those days, you know, for play and leisure activities?
They found their own play and leisure. Things that you don't see today. We had our own games, seasonal games. And quite happily doing it.
Do you remember any of them?
Oh, yes. You had hoops, which you used to run up and down. A hoop, steel hoop with a metal handle. Kitty cats, which has just been on here the other week. And it was being in living history. I made a kitty cat and bat for our place. marbles. Doodle. Some will not know what that means. But you collect cigarette cards. And you start swapping around. Have a doodle. And chuck stones. You know, stand the stone on end and then so far, knock it off. Mount a kitty, jumpy over back. And putting it now along is jumpy our back. But that. And then, of course, there was the seasonal down to Roker Park, because we were only 3 or 4 minutes to the lake, where we used to take our yachts and sail them, or fish, for the pond was full of fish, with a piece of string and a worm on the end, fishing, and we used to enjoy that. Played all day. Further on, another 2 or 3 minutes walk down through the park, you were on the beach at Roker. And then, in them days, the weather was so warm, and the nights stayed long, and many a time the family's been out searching for us, the youngsters that lives all around our doors. Time we were in, could have been after 9 o'clock at night, we're happily playing on the sands, not up to mischief, doing no damage like you get these days. Just happily playing, and then they would come in. And I've had a wallop or two off my father for being late. But there you are. That's discipline, which is lacking these days.
So your father would smack you?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I've had a smack on the behind a few times. Not for anything serious. Just to keep us on the right track. The do's and the don'ts. What you can do and what you can't do. And I still have to dare what you can't do and what you can do.
The neighbours, again, you said they were very good neighbours. Was there a lot of drinking and drunkenness in the neighbourhood?
Well, I couldn't say for the whole neighbourhood, but not in our street, not in Francis Street, no. I mean, go out and have a drink, but there was none of these shouting and yelling and fighting. No, no.
How old were you when you started school?
14. Oh, sorry, sorry. Five.
Which school did you start?
Redby School, just at the top of the street. Redby School.
What memories have you got of that school?
Oh, I remember going there and into the hall, in the queue, to sign on to the headmistress, Miss Smith. And funnily, the laddie next to me, it's a lady called Woodward, Albert. And all through our lives, him and I has crossed. And we've always been friends. And even now, to when I was in the TA, he was officer in the TA. Same as me. And we met again. Our paths just always sort of catch up with each other, from school days to army days.
Did you like school?
Fifty-fifty, not really. I'll be quite honest, I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a theoretical man, I'm a practical man. And I found mathematics a bit hard.
From that school, did you move to another school as you got older?
No, I went right through that, from the infants to the juniors, and then into the seniors. And I was in the seniors when you used to break up for the summer, 4 week summer holidays in the summer, in July, on a Friday dinner time. And we broke up for the summer holidays, and of course I came home, dinner, and my brother, who was works in a garage, he came, told me, Dad, want an apprentice. Huh. I went back with him. Yes, I started work on the following Tuesday, that me summer holidays up the creek. And I started work at the age of 14 in the garage, 3 days after I'd left for the holidays.
Just before we come to that, did you have an annual holiday where you went somewhere during your childhood life?
No. We had annual holidays, the normal holiday, but not to go away. Finance was the reason for that. But we're still... enjoyed ourselves down to Roker Beach during the day with your parents and brothers and sisters who were available, like, if they weren't working. Spent our time down at Roker on the beach.
Did you have a difficult time during the 1926 strike era?
Now then, you're getting back there to 1926.
About nine.
I was only about 9 years old. But I do remember going on the beach, scratting for sea coal with my brother, one of my brothers, for sea coal. And cinders in the rope works at the back, just inside the fence, where when they emptied the fire, the furnaces, and they were just tossed outside, we used to scrap through there for cinders. That's the only real thing I can remember about 1926. And, oh, yes, rabbits. My dad started to keep rabbits, not as pets. Other people started to keep chickens for the eggs, but we didn't have facilities for hens. But rabbits.
You started working, as you say, at the age of 18.
14.
14, sorry. Mm. What was the name of the company?
Thompson's Autoelectric Station.
And this was an apprenticeship? You were going to do an apprenticeship?
Yes, as a motor mechanic. Yes.
And how long would an apprenticeship last?
5 years. 5 years.
And when you started, the very, very beginning, what kind of jobs were you given to do?
When you first started, you sweep the garage floor, clean windows, the front windows, and then you were taught how to use the petrol pumps. And you serve petrol. We sell Shell Mex and National Benzol, which you don't see now. Shell Mex, 11.80 a gallon. Shell Mex, National Benzol, 1 shilling and 1 halfpenny a gallon. I wish they were that then. No.
Yeah. How much were you paid for this at the very beginning?
That's as near as I can remember. Mood. 7 or 8 shillings.
And that was handed to your parents?
You want to me?
Yes, when you brought it home.
Yeah. Brought it home and handed it over to me mother. 8 shillings. And I know my family laughed when I mentioned it. I got 2 shillings back. That was my pocket money.
How far would 2 shillings take you?
Well, it did. Because in them days, things weren't expensive. And you could. You could go to the pictures. You could buy sweets. There's quite a lots of things. I mean, smoking was out. I never bothered no smoking. Or drinking. But 2 shillings would go a long way. Especially when you could go from Fulwell to the town for a penny on a tram car.
As an apprentice, how were you treated by the senior workers, the older workers?
Oh, all right. You went working with a senior, obviously, to learn. I still know them. One of them was my own brother. I think he was just head mechanic. He wasn't foreman. He was head mechanic. Because the Thompsons, there was 2 brothers, Matty and Edward. One did the clerical side, and Matty was in overalls on the electrical side. So he would be more or less foreman, but he was boss, really. But my brother would be like head mechanic.
As part of your apprenticeship, did you have to go to what they call night schools?
No. No. No, I never did. I just went through that. Then Thompson's gave up doing mechanical repairs, and the mechanics was paid off. I don't know why, not me. I was kept on. They kept it open as an auto-electric station, which was humble. But I was going to be motor mechanics. All I was doing is come in removing dynamos, starter motors and magnetos in them days, the electrical stuff for the electricians to repair, and then I fit them back on again. But that's not learning a trade. Then I got wind from a friend that Howie's Harbour View was wanting an apprentice. Now, dinner hour, straight down. Got the job. And now I served the rest of my time at Howie's Harbour View. When we were doing mechanical work.
And what kind of mechanical business was that?
Engines. All car repairs. Brakes. Axles, springs. Springs, it seems funny these days, they didn't have springs. Well, to be honest, if you lift the bonnet of a car now, I'm frightened to look. Electrical. Fetch me a Morris car of 1930s, and I'll take it to bits and put it together, and I'll name every part. But look under the bonnet of a car now, frightens you. It's all digits and electrical gear.
What year did you join this company?
Howie's? 1934. Round about 34.
What kind of activities did a teenage lad get up to outside of work?
Outside of work? Well, we had our bikes. We'd go out for runs. Go to shore. Sunday night, laughable. bands used to be playing in the park on Sundays afternoon and evenings, and after church we used to make our way to Rother Park and always congregate in one place. I and the talent.
The ladies.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they used to congregate as well in the same. Oh, they probably were doing the same.
Did you get to the football matches?
No. You see, I was working, and football matches were on afternoon, so that was out. But after the band sort of finished, we all off and down onto the seafront to Seaburn and into the ice cream parlour. Well, you see, that was it. That was our living, our childhood. What we were enjoying wasn't doing anybody any harm. We just enjoyed it.
1930s, particularly the late 1930s, with you must have been hearing of problems in Europe.
Yeah.
What were you and other people thinking? Because you were getting to that age where you might be involved.
Yeah, well, by then, of course, I was working on Sunland Corporation.
Oh, you'd moved again?
Yes, I was working on Sunland Corporation. See, when you served your time in them days, you did your 5 years, and then you were paid off in the start of new apprentice. That's what happened to me. You see, I started, I served my time. And, of course, I was approaching 21. Now, a brother of mine worked on the corporation. He was a bus driver. And he said to me, you know, he was talking to me, Mum, because my dad had died then, why don't you come on the corporation? It's a good job, it's clean, it's permanent, it's regular, you don't get the sack. You sack yourself. If you misbehave, you're out. Do your job, that's it, you're all right. And you can work necessarily, whatever. So I thought, oh, well, you go in the depot. And the depot's just at the back of the house, cross the lane and you're in the depot. Filled the forms in, put it in. I had to go for an interview. I went down during my dinner hour and saw Mr. Pointer at the wee sheaf. Yes. Accept it. See this chief inspector at Fulwell Depot. And he's put you right. Fulwell Depot? Why, that was the bus depot. I mean, went down and saw him at the necessary time. Now, was issued with a bag and a punch and a uniform. And I asked him, I says, what's the uniform and the bag and punch for? Why, he says, you're starting as a tram conductor. What's wrong? I said, I had on my application form your trade, and I was a motor mechanic. I said, I was coming to the depot at my trade. Oh, no. He says, at this time of the year, we start a number of conductors for the summer season. At the end of the summer, the good ones is kept on. The shady ones goes out, putting it bluntly. Oh, well, of course, that was a little letdown. But I thought, and I said, well, if I went home with 21 shillings after a week's overtime and the dirt in the garage, that was it. But the conductor's wage was £3.36 an hour. £2.36 an hour. Oh, I says, this is it. Because in them days, my mother only had 10 bob with his pension and I was on a load. And we were struggling to live on the house. That's why I was only on 2 shillings a week pocket money. So I went on to the corporation. And he told us then, he said, well, but you can come here as a conductor and you can go driving. He says you can go to be an inspector. You can work your way up. Others have done it. And well, I took the job. And I went on the trams, but having diesel and petrol in me blood sort of business, I transferred onto the buses. Conducting. Then I went driving. Then I had my ticket to drive a tram car. But after the war, the short of bus drivers, I didn't get onto the trams to drive, which I could have if necessary. So I'd achieved all them. And then came the time that for an inspector's course. But I learned thing on an inspector's course and I dropped it flat. money-wise, no good. To be an inspector, you must have a family that's grown up and working with another income. Or your wife, you weren't allowed to have a business, but your wife had to have a business and it'd be in her name. But no married man with a family could live on an inspector's wage. I found that out. And they told us that themselves, other inspectors. That went under it and packed it in. Now, the inspectors who were inspectors, I knew them all. And I knew the families. One in particular, he didn't have a family, wasn't married. He was happy. Others had a business. Others had a family that was fetching something else in. But there was not one of them living on just the inspector's wage.
The late 1930s again, were there any signs of war approaching?
Yes, yes. Yes, things was beginning to rattle. Well, there was a 1938, there was a call up then.
And did, then did you have gas masks being issued before the war actually started?
Yes.
Air raid shelters and so on, will they begin to appear?
Yes, yes. Yes, there was a brick-built one put in our back of our place for my mother. But, well, it was for me and all, actually, but I wasn't there then. That's another story. 1939, I thought, it fizzled out in 38, and two or three of me pals on the corporation had joined the TA at Dykeman's Road, 386, 47th Regiment. I went down, joined up.
How did you do that? You've gone to the drill hall.
Yes.
What was the process of actually joining up the TA?
You went in, and you were taken in front of the colonel, the man in charge, Colonel Iliff, nice chap. And he explained things to us. I said, yes, yes. Okay, and I signed on. Took the King's shilling, and I signed on. March the 31st. March 31st, 1939.
And
I joined up.
What had you made you join, actually? Was it friends that were going?
Yeah, the friends. I'll be quite honest, it was my mates and that, and the annual camp and the money. The financial side of it would be a big help, you see, to my mother. I admit it, mind you, I didn't know that what was going to happen on the 3rd, that it would, I'd would still be in a way if I hadn't joined up. In any case, I'd have still been aware, but I thought, well, I might as well be with my mates.
What did your parents, or your mother, of course, by now, what did she think of joining the army? Or the Territorial Army in this particular case? Was she happy about that, or?
Well, she was. She'd come round to it, because she knew it would have to come, in any case. But she'd come round to it. As I said, I only went to drill hall twice a week, down Dykeland's Road. Back home.
Which two nights?
The Tuesdays and Thursdays, I think it was. Yes, Tuesdays.
What time would you report into the drill hall?
7 o'clock or nine-ish. 7 to 9. You got two. You marked your cards, or they marked the cards. Two attendances.
And your payments depended upon the number of nights you put in, and
yes,
the weekends and
yes,
so on?
Yes. Every now and again there would be a payout. There wasn't a regular time for it, but they would let it run until you got quite a bit, and then there would be a payout on your attendance.